Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Can we pray in the Holy Spirit? And if you can close your eyes, get it closed if it can help you to concentrate. Everybody, let's pray in the Spirit. And tell the Lord to speak to you. Tell Him to speak a word to you. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in His name, that He is there. Tell Him to speak to you. Lebrahanda shala bragadia barado shabaragaya. Holy words, long precept for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope in this world where we roam. Ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Oh, ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We are, we open. Oh, let the ancient world impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, hear the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words, ever true, changing me, and changing you. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient world, one more time, ancient world, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come, we have come. We open high. Oh, let the ancient world begin. All right. We had read one time, I think. Some of you should be familiar with that part of scriptures in 1 Corinthians 2, down through 1 Corinthians 2, down to through 7, it says, okay, let's have it so that we'll read together. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Can we read it together, church? One, two, go. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the wisdom. All right, let's see it in the TPT rendition. We'll see in three rendition, TPT, NLT, the Amplified. Let's read in this rendition. What to go? It says, instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God. Hidden before now in a mystery, it is in His secret plan, destined before the ages to bring us into glory. So that mystery that's been hidden is supposed to bring what? Us into glory. And you know, the Bible spoke about same mystery in Colossians 1:26. Maybe we'll see that briefly before we come back here. Colossians 1:26. It said there's a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed from the world for generations. But now it is being revealed, unfolded, and manifested for every holy believer to experience. Alright? Let's have this in the Amplified. We want to see that word glory there too, so that it will, you know, resound with what we just read in 1 Corinthians. It said, that is the mystery which was hidden from angels and mankind. You see that? For ages and what? Generation. And notice something that said that Amplified capture. It said it is hidden from what? Angels and what? Mankind. It said for ages and for generations, but has now been revealed to His saints. You see that? He didn't even say it's revealed to angels. He said to His saints. Now in the parentheses, what did he write there? God's people. Are you seeing that? It is revealed to us. For what? Our glory. Let's see the next part of scripture. 27. It said, God in His eternal plan chose to make known to them how great for the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of His mystery, which is in Christ and among you, the hope and what? Guarantee of what? Realizing the glory. So that mystery is the hope and what? Guarantee to realizing the glory, to living in the glory. Let's see in the TPT what it says in this part. The TPT is that living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for His people. And God wants everyone to know it. Someone say amen. And going back to where we were in 1 Corinthians 2:7, especially in the TPT rendition, the Bible said there's a mystery that has been hidden for our glory. That God's mystery has been hidden for what? Our glory. In other words, when you know this mystery, you begin to live in the glory. You begin to walk in the glory. And what is the glory of God? Hallelujah. Is everyone in this church tonight? What is the glory of God? The glory of God for you is that you live God's best for you. everything that God has said concerning you in His Word, if you begin to live in that reality, you are living in the glory. Are you listening to me? For instance, God said in the beginning that you were created in His what? Say with me, in His what? And what? Likeness. In other words, you mirror God. Are you listening to me? If you want to know yourself, let's say some big things this morning. If you want to know yourself, look into God. That's what the Bible is saying. Because He created you in His what? Image and likeness. If you want to know yourself, don't look. You know, there's a song by Michael Jackson. Some of you know that song. You know, that said, look into the mirror, take a look at yourself, blah, 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 and say, I can't, blah, blah, blah. Now, the mirror for you, the song is not entirely wrong, right? The mirror for you is Jesus Christ, is His Word. And we have seen that before. Let's see 2 Corinthians 3:18. We know that's part of Scripture. Everyone here knows it. In the NKJV or the old KJV rendition, I even prefer the old KJV. It said, okay, NKJV is fine. I see the word mirror there. Let's read together, everyone. But we all, with what? Beholding the glory of the Lord, are being what? Transformed into the same image from what? Now notice something. It said by the Spirit at the end, of course. Now notice something. It says, when we look at the glory, we are transformed into an image. In other words, the glory we saw was an image. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Because of course, Newton taught law of motion. For every action, there's a what? We can't see something different and be changed into something different. Are you people get what I'm trying to explain? And the Bible calls that image the glory of God. It said, beholding like as in a mirror, the glory of God have been changed into the image, you know, same image. Now, of course, you know who that image is. That image is Christ Jesus. He is the image of what? The invisible God. And the same image, which is Christ Jesus, the Bible calls in Hebrews 1:3. Let's see verse 3 of Hebrews 1. It said, who being the brightness? Who is the brightness of His glory? It said, Jesus is the brightness of His glory. So when we behold the glory, we are turned into the image. Because Jesus is the glory of the Father. Are you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So if you understand this mystery, if you know Jesus, you get to realize yourself. Alright? You can't say anything outside Jesus. The scope of your existence revolves around the parameters of Jesus. Everything Jesus is, has, and does is who you are. The Bible says, in Him we live, breathe, and walk. I know some of you are thinking it's so big. Jesus did that, it blah, 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 blah. He said something before He left. He said, as the Father sent me, send I you. Then He said something again in John. He said, if you believe in me, the words that I speak, if you believe in those words, if they get into your inside and live in you, He said, you will become one with me, and now you will become one with the Father too. Meaning, you begin to think like God. You are one with Him. The way He sees Jesus is the way He begins to see you. Because the school of thought in Jesus is in you. And of course, it's not something you should just wish to get just like that. You know why we are longing for that and are trusting God to work in all of this experience? Because that's the Father's expectation about you. Jesus was the only begotten Son, and He died, was buried, and resurrected. Now He has brought, the Bible said, Hebrews 2:10, many sons to glory. In other words, you are a son of the living God. You know, but the world doesn't want you to know this. A lot of people don't know this. Some of you have too much high expectation even about your universities and your professors. They don't know this wisdom. The Bible said the wisdom is hidden. They don't know it. Meaning, BSU cannot teach you this. A degree or a master degree or a professorship is not an affirmation that you know this. You can have all the degrees in this world and still be ignorant of this. It is only by the Holy Spirit you get to walk in this reality. Are you listening to me? That's why sometimes you find some of the finest scientists not knowing God or calling Christianity junk. And you are wondering if this intelligent man, the man is not entirely intelligent. The Bible said it. The one that says there is no God is a fool. And you must trust God's word. That anybody who doesn't know God is a fool. Who said that? Hey, who said that? Someone said the Bible. I don't entirely agree. Who said that? God. And the Bible captured it. Are you listening? Trust God. So tell somebody, trust God. Anybody that said there is no God, who is that person? If there's a way you should be seeing that person. Don't trust the words from that person's mouth. You know, there are some foolish people in the US that said there's no God. So they now said man should marry man. You see, firstly they said there is no God. Then we now saw the foolish act. What did they say? A man can marry a man. Are you seeing that God is right? Trust God. Again, why? If God tells you somebody is a fool, believe it. Just trust him. He said the fool is the one that says there is no God. You know, one of the finest scientists in this world, Albert Einstein. You know, he's a believer, right? He said something. He said, little sciences take you far from God. He said, but much knowledge of sciences makes you to realize God and come very close to God. That's what he said. Somebody asked me, who is the greatest scientist? I said, Albert Einstein. He said, why? Why will you call him? Let me give you a few reasons. He discovered several laws, like the law of motion. How many of you know those laws? The law of motion. After he discovered it, he now discovered another law that has to do with light. The law of, is it prism? I can't really remember that in physics. Help me, somebody. How that he began to find out that white is not just like that. That there are several colors that make up white. Law of what? Refraction whatsoever, etc. The Lord give you people understanding. After he was done discovering that law, then boom, he became 26 years old. The Lord give you understanding again. You don't get what I just said. After all of this discovery, he now celebrated 26 years old birthday. How old are you now? I don't know that you get where I'm coming from, but some of you have not still understood me. Who is 26 here? Okay, you think I want to use it for example? You're getting it wrong. Who is 26? You are 26. Stand up. Let's show you something. That after Albert Einstein finished all of this thing, he now became your age mate. He didn't know this thing when he was old. I hope you know what you are doing to your life at 26. You can be seated. So whatever he says about science is done. Anybody that came from the back and said, Naden Sabi. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Are you here tonight? You know, some of us who we just woke up one morning, and we don't mean to be sounding foolish, but you just discovered you lost your mom, you lost one of your sister, you lost one of your uncle. Then you now hear somebody say, "Do you want to receive Jesus as a personal Lord?" I say, "That stupid Jesus that made my mother die, that made my father die. Who told you it's Jesus' fault that your mother, father, brother, uncle died? Who told you that?" You know, I think I was speaking to someone lately. He came to my office and said one of the things that made his faith to shake in God was that he tried to pray for somebody and the person didn't receive his healing. He said, "But Pastor, I remember that when I was praying, there was some doubt in my heart." So I just underlined that word, doubt in my heart. When it was done, I said, "I think one of the pointers to your unbelief is when you prayed for your friend and your friend did not receive his healing." He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "But you said something while you were telling me the story. You said you had some doubt in your heart. The Bible said if anyone looks at a mountain with no doubt in his heart." You see that? Whose fault is it? Not God's fault. Your healing is dependent on you. It starts and ends in you. You determine the receiving. It's called the law of faith. The woman said in his heart, "If I can touch the helm
Is that not what she said? Did she agree with Jesus? Jesus was flowing. No agreement. Touch. Healing left. Jesus said, who touched me? He didn't agree with her. But her faith gave her the healing. One of our patriarchs of faith in this nation, Archbishop Bessie Dahusa of blessed memory, he said, if your faith says yes, God cannot say no. There are laws governing the spirit world. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? For instance, you are a spirit being. Hey, look at your neighbor. Look, if you can point them on the head like this, do it. Say, you are a spirit being. Don't think you are natural. You are not natural. You know, if you know you, you think you are natural, you go to club and be doing it. Because you think you are natural. You are just wasted. So I refuse to waste. If your neighbor doesn't say that, they go to club. Say, I refuse to wait. You, when you have no revelation, you are everywhere. You don't know who you are. Do you know who you are? The Bible says you've been bought with a price. God Almighty died for you. And you end in club. What a waste of life. You are dancing. You are happy. See, there's what, something we call the joy of the spirit. You know, some people there, they were looking for something. It's that kind of joy. That joy they are looking for there. See, I'm looking for something that will make me happy. You've not understood kingdom. You are playing religion. Kingdom is righteousness. Peace. And joy. The four corners of a church, you won't find it there. Joy where? In the Holy Ghost. Meaning you have to take the Holy Ghost. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's when Christianity begins. Christianity is not active because we're in St. Matthew. Get me. But that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem. Don't go out and start church. Wait for me in Jerusalem at the upper room until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. The word used there in English is endued in the Bible. Endued. It was gotten from a Greek word called endudo. This is how it works. There's a sorcery practice those days. You know, they wrote about it and say you can carry somebody. It's just like carrying. How many of you know simple pendulum? You know simple pendulum, right? Imagine that iron was very strong and it was a chain. Then you carry it and hit something to expand the thing. As you hit it, the thing just get expanded. That's how they saw it from their writing. That as the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he's like a simple metal, simple pendulum that hits you and gets you expanded. Your capacity gets expanded. Are you listening to me? The things you couldn't do before, you begin to do. There's suddenly a potential difference. Now you begin to talk like Paul. I can now do all things. Paul stood from that understanding. He said, Kai, what is it in this world that I can't do? I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm filled with God's ability. And anything God can do. He said, unto him who can do exceedingly abundantly above all you have can ever thought or imagine, according to his word. You have a blank check. Imagine it. Oh, I think greatness. Abraham, as far as your eyes can see, as far, we are the ones that will bring fulfillment of scriptures. We are that generation. When God says it, we get it into display. Are you listening? As far as your eyes can see, he said, that I have given unto you. Abraham kept on counting. He lost count. God said, I can even do more. I can do more. Your wife has passed menopause, blah, blah, blah. I can do more. And Abraham had to believe because he heard the word of God. Remember, faith cometh by hearing. Oh, faith sometimes sounds like foolishness. Against all odds, you are sitting in faith. Because you heard God's word. He said he has given us his word so that his joy. Is somebody happy in a tough situation? Why is he happy? the word of God. And now he's filled with joy. And when you see joy, you know there's strength. The Bible said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. No wonder it takes joy to draw. Because joy is the strength of the Spirit. The Bible said, with joy, we draw from the wells of salvation. Meaning without joy, you cannot see. Joy is a proof of faith. No wonder I said, if you've heard my word, you'll be joyful. You'll be excited. See, when you are crying in a situation, it's not a proof that you have faith. You are just zealous, foolishly zealous. Remember, Jesus cried for a few seconds before the tomb of Lazarus. Few seconds. Just one, two, he stopped. He felt emotional. And Bob said, he just wept. And when he went, he cleaned his head. He said, Father, I thank you, Father, because you always listen to me. I thank you. He thanked the Father. He said, I thank you. You always, the Bible says, in all situations, give thanks to God. Knowing he can turn the situation around. I thank you. Jesus knew that God didn't produce death there. It was a devil. And that's why I said, I know you will listen to me in this situation right now. And turn it upside down. When he was done thanking God, he looked at the situation. Tell somebody, don't just thank God. When you are done, command the things to change. Because thanksgiving is an affirmation of faith. When we say, Father, we thank you, we are saying, God, we know you can change this situation. Then you turn to the situation and say, get changed now. Because God cannot do it except by the words that flow from your mouth. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all you have ever what? How? According to his what? And how do you release that power? By words. As you speak, the power of God gets into display. Are you listening? That's why people doubt miracles. You know, I was watching Pastor Chris healing, one of the healing stream with one of my in-laws. And she asked the question. She said, why is the miracle so sharp? That's why I doubt these things. It's too sharp. He said, there's no one delay. And I asked her, why do we need to delay? Did you read the Bible? And the Bible said, Jesus did it and there was a delay. And Jesus said, come again, let me try. Why did it not work? As he spoke, it happened. He told a man who had leprosy, he couldn't walk well. He was sitting, he couldn't enter into the pool of Bethesda. Jesus looked at him and said, why are you not? Jesus was being sarcastic. If you look at that scripture to an extent, he said, why are you not in the river? Why are you not in the pool? The man said, because my friends didn't take me inside, I don't have leg to walk. Now, Jesus tried to prove that people that receive miracles, a lot of times they are receiving a miracle does not mean you are a good person, because those people receive miracles and they left somebody who could not receive and ran away. Yeah. Are you people getting on trying this? That's religion. Are you people getting on trying to explain? Yeah. And what did Jesus tell him? He said, you're not going to get into that pool. He said, rise up and walk. Without getting into water, he said, what? Rise up and walk. The guy rose up with no enters into miracle pool, because all of those things point to Christ. Are you listening to me? They are shadows. Jesus is a reality. Those waters people used to get into are dead waters, pointing to Christ. But Jesus is a living water. Now that Jesus has come, we need no water for purification. Guess how we are purified? The Bible says, if anybody be, it's a word, new creation. And she stood up, the Bible said. And Jesus, he stood up. Jesus said, go and check. Not for confession of sin. He said, go meet the priest. The priests were the ones that would give affirmation later that this guy is really free from leprosy. Else he should be discarded of the city. And the people gave him an affirmation. He said, you are free. Go. Live freely in the community. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, I was teaching using this to friend this many years ago. The person made a terrible mistake. He slept with somebody that was HIV and AIDS. And when we confronted him, he said his faith cannot allow him to have HIV and AIDS. And we said to him, you sinned and are having faith. We don't say that faith is a bad faith. Even in the Bible, Jesus said they should go and check the priest. You remember? So we say, go and check the priest, the doctor. Since you have faith now, go and check whether the faith has prevailed. Say, no, I don't want to go there. My faith, if I really have faith, I should not check. It's okay. Even Jesus told somebody to check. Tell somebody when you pray, check. It's not bad. Check. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here tonight? We are spirit beings. We are not normal people. Oh, we are not normal people. You know, if you are normal, you will sin. If you are normal, you will be taking cigarettes. If you feel normal, you know, that's why I say, everybody in our flesh and blood, then the next thing they will go and sin. It is always an excuse. You know, we are all flesh and blood. They are trying to cover that we are all sinners. We are not flesh and blood. Jesus said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 15, I think 56. It said flesh and blood cannot. Meanwhile, he's calling you to inherit the kingdom. If God wants you to inherit the kingdom and tells you flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom, who are you? Are you flesh and blood? We are not flesh and blood. We are wearing it, but we are not it. And guess what? This thing we are wearing has become eternal. You know, some of you celebrated Wednesday, dust you are, dust you shall return. See, I tell you, it can be like that for you. You know, listen, I'm not trying to mock. That was the consequence of Adam's disobedience. Jesus did not curse Adam. Jesus told Adam that for eating of the wrong tree, you are not open to another reality. Remember, Adam was created a spirit being in Genesis 1:26. But the form of Adam in Genesis 2:7 was from where? The dust of the ground. Now remember, Adam was existing before he had a form. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain? Adam was what? Existing. His form is not him. When Adam ate from the wrong tree, this was death to Adam. He was now open to a reality that his form is him. When you think your form is you, you have died. You are not your form. You are a spirit being. Death for Adam was that he thought he was his form. And we saw the affirmation in Romans 8 from verse 6. To be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded. To be carnally minded. In other words, in your mind, if you think you are flesh and blood, you have died. He said, but to be spiritually minded. To be spiritually minded is life. And what? Peace. Peace is in the spirit. Life is in the spirit. Are you listening to me? If you understand this, you will run away from religion. And that's why you begin to, that's when you begin to enjoy true Christianity. See, it's not possible to go to church, hear the word of God and sin. It's possible. It's not possible. You know, as we're talking now, some people are saying, I don't go to church since they bore me. That's not church. If you truly are listening to God's word, listen to the boldness of Jesus' speech in John 10:28. He said, and I give them eternal life, and no one, he said, I give to them eternal life. He said, no one can steal them away from me. Look at the bold words. Now, Genesis 3:16, we all know it. One to go. For God so loved the world, that he what? That whosoever what? Will not what? But what? How many of you believe in Jesus? Meaning you have eternal life. And what did he say in John 10:28? Because of eternal life, no man can steal you. No devil, no demon can steal you from God. Say, no demon can steal me from God. Hey, say it boldly. Say, no demon can steal me from God. See what he said again in 1 John 3 and 9 about a man that is full of eternal life. He said, whoever has been born of God does not. Oh, read it one more time. One, two, go. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Glory, 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 glory. Hey, born of God. The Bible said your system does not support free flow of sin. You wake up, you are not scared of your confession. Hold fast your confession of it. You wake up in the morning, you say, hi, he said, yeah, I don't sin. I'm a sinless being. hey, the Christianity is not sinless perfection. It's like, ah, that's for children. Those are religious understanding. Christianity is sinless perfection. So, Pastor Simon, I know all the scriptures you want to quote. Firstly, you have seen this one. What shall we say about this? If you are born of God, you cannot sin because His seed remains in you. Verse 6 of same part of scripture. Are you ready to read? Let's read verse 6. 1, 2, read. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever what? Oh, glory, 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 glory. He said if you abide in Him, you can't sin. If God thinks that you should live a life of sin, He wouldn't say this to you. Even in the beginning, from the mission statement, at the birth of Jesus, He said He will save the people from their sins. Oh, glory. I am free from sin and all of the consequences of sin. That's how you talk. The Bible says we have a new nature, a divine nature. A divine nature. Are you listening? We've got a divine nature. You know, they quote Ephesians 1 and 13. Let's see it briefly and explain it for them. That's the scripture. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, having believed, you were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Why were you sealed? To what end? Next part of scripture. Who is what? The guarantee. Of what? Until what? To the what? So there's a reason why you were sealed with the Holy Ghost. Jesus told us that reason. He said, it is expedient that I go, else the Holy Spirit will not what? Come. And when He comes, all that is of me, He will give it unto you. That's the reason why the Holy Spirit came in and upon us. Not to just leave us in sin all the days of our life. No, 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 no. Are you seeing it? So they stop at verse 13 and say, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. See the reason why you are sealed. He is the guarantee. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, there is no guarantee that you will touch what Jesus has purchased for you. There is no guarantee. The Holy Spirit in you is a guarantee. Somebody say guarantee. That everything Jesus did on Calvary can be yours. As you live in this world like a mere man and suffer like everybody. You see, we don't agree. You know, we've never registered somewhere that some people should suffer us. Some of the troubles some of us have, our great-grandfather caused it. I tell you, there are some families, their great-grandfather registered their names. He said, me and my generation will serve you. So the bean just keeps on waiting for seeds to be coming. As they come, He begins to infuse wrong characters in them. You know, I met a lady one time and I said to her, I see in your lineage that nobody is in their marital home. And she started crying. None of them. The one that successfully dared to marry, he's almost leaving the marriage already. And I said, and I'm seeing the same mistake on you. Who gives that idea? See, when wrong ideas come to your mind, it is a devil. He comes through demons. If the devil wants you to walk in a pattern, if he wants your family to walk in a pattern, he doesn't come and do like this. He has an ideology he infuses in the people. When you buy into that immoral idea, then that demon subjects you. That's why the truest deliverance is revelation of God's word. And that's why true deliverance is not leave this body. If you do like that without the word, it's all sinking sand. True deliverance is preached. The Bible said Jesus preached deliverance to the oppressed. Are you listening to me? I gave that illustration one time. Come. I said, imagine you are filled. This man of God. This brother is filled with demons. Like scripture said. Six demons, for instance. A few demons, right? And a deliverance minister came and, Get out! Now, it's not bad to deliver people from demons. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? And he stopped there. He stops there. And when the demons go, he says, you are free. And truly he's free. No demon. The Bible said, Jesus was one that said those words. He said, the demon will come. He will be passing one day. No, he's going somewhere else. When he checks, and he sees no house for himself. meaning nobody to enter. He now remembers where he used to be. When he comes back to the body and he sees that the body is empty, you know what it means for the body to be empty? He is not there, the demon, and nothing has filled the body. Are you people getting out trying to explain? What will he do? He will go and look for seven other demons. Seven is a prophetic number for perfection. He will come with a perfect destruction and get into that body so that that person cannot break out of that siege again. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because he has learned before that they removed him. He doesn't want to be removed again. So the deliverance minister meant for good when he removed the demon. But without infusing the knowledge of God's word, he did a greater destruction. How many of you have noticed some sisters, they deliver every service when you were growing? Oh, you are pretending. Were you that sister? Now, if you notice, there's some people in church, they always deliver every time service starts. Don't deliver this Tuesday, deliver next Tuesday. As long as there's a deliverance meeting, we know who will first fall. So you are wondering, now every time the demon they come, especially the vomiters, how many of you have been there? Lagaba Sharakabaya. The vomiters association. One time I was somewhere, somebody was being delivered from the demon of masturbation. Guess what I saw coming out from the stomach of that person? It was akpu. Tuo. It was coming out. And I touched my friend. I said, la 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 la. When the alien deliverance, they went down. And I'm delivering masturbation with two. Two is coming out. They're not saying the spirit of masturbation. You just remove two. You go. They don't. It's not two that is masturbation spirit. You know. They play. It's a joke. The Bible said we've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into God's marvelous light. I mean light. That's how you talk. And then you see, we are new creations. We have a new language. It's called praying in the Holy Ghost. Glory, glory, glory. It's called praying in the Spirit. Say, Pastor, it's for some. It's not for some. The Bible said the Holy Ghost came upon them at the top of the building in Jerusalem. The Bible said, and they were all filled. Let me tell you the people that were there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and many people, they were there at the top of that building. And when the Holy Ghost came upon them, Mary started labragaba shakabo. Hey, you don't know Mary praying in tongues? Go and argue with your Bible. If you like, get mad. Mary prayed in tongues. You are the one not praying in tongues. You are not a good follower. Because what she touched as a human being, you didn't touch it. You can't touch it. Bible says when we pray in the Spirit, it said to men who are saying nonsense. So you are in a right place. When we pray, when you say mumu people, that's what you are fulfilling scripture. You are a man, man. But the Bible says in the Spirit we are uttering mysteries. Ooh. He then says, let's touch those scripture. You know, somebody told me, say, Pastor Simon, why do you like talking about tongues? Why would I not like talking about tongues? 1 Corinthians 14, let's start from verse 1. Or should we just go to verse 4? Go to verse 4. It says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Next part of scripture. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more than you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. This is one of the major problems with most people that don't believe in praying in the Holy Spirit. They are wondering. The Bible says that when tongues is being said, there should be an interpretation. Now, let's even read for a while. Keep on reading. Before I explain. It says, but now, brethren, then if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Next part of scripture. Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is piped or played? Next part of scripture. It says, for if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? Next part of scripture. So likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. Next part of scripture. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in this world, and none of them is without significance. Next part of scripture. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Understand where Paul is coming from. Now, Paul was speaking to a church who had diverse manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And they didn't understand the meaning of all of those things. So go back to verse 3 again and verse 4. Let's start from there in explanation. The explanation of... Give me from verse 2, Seth. Let me just read everything. Now, if you observe, Paul looks like he's even contradicting himself from verse 2. He says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to what? To God. He said, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, what happens? He speaks mysteries. So Paul is not telling you that he's entirely against praying in tongues. He's coming from, he's trying to explain a perspective to you that, see, if you find yourself praying in tongues, you just come to church. That was what was happening in the Corinthian church. They just come to church. And there are new people in church. For instance, in this church now, there are new people that don't pray in tongues. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Now, as I'm talking now, imagine that I'm just doing, and some of you be lifting your hand, oh glory, meanwhile some are like this, waiting to happen for this church. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They are wondering if I'm stupid. Paul said that is foolishness. It's not supposed to be like that. Because as I'm preaching now, who is he? I mean, as I'm praying in tongues, who is he profiting? Nobody. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? He's not profiting anybody. We're just praying. Except we call it a prayer meeting. But I can't stand here now. There are new people who need the gospel to be changed. Next part of scripture. He then says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and what? Exhortation and what? Comfort to men. But as I'm preaching now, what am I doing? I'm speaking what? And what? And what? Very important. Tongues is for personal edification, not for congregational edification. When I pray in tongues personally, I'm building myself. But if I'm in church, I'm not building myself. I want to build the church. So what is more profitable in church? Prophecy, which is speaking God's word. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. That's where Paul is coming from. He's not attacking tongues. He's not saying that when you pray in tongues, blah, blah, blah. No. And generally speaking, the interpretation of these mysteries we speak unto God, the general interpretation of it is called prophecy according to scripture. Prophecy means speaking God's word. We are speaking a mystery. When we are able to speak God's word, it is like an interpretation of the mysteries we spoke in the spirit. That's why Paul is saying that if there is no interpretation of what God is doing in the spirit by our tongues, then it is rubbish. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Next part of scripture, the verse 4 we started with. It then says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who what? Edifies the church. Did you get that now? So, before you are even able to edify the church, you must have edified yourself. If you have not been edified, you can what? Edify the church. Are you guys getting on trying to explain to you? And that is why 1 Corinthians 12 began to speak about gifts. It is wrongly interpreted. Many times when people say gifts, it is not because I was telling a preacher, I said, I don't feel that the writer of 1 Corinthians 12 meant gifts The meaning of gift, he didn't mean it the way our present generation are interpreting it. You know, when we say gift, many people see it like this. Give me different things there. Just different things. I want to round up, please. Just give me a few moments. Okay, no, I have a jotter already. So give me a pen and an iPad. So let me have four people just rush out. So imagine these are packages in the Holy Spirit, right? Four people come out. When we say come out, some people just be sitting down and be scared. Go back. You did not come since. If they affect you, take. Take. So the Holy Spirit now is sharing, right? Take. So this one has gift of drinking water. He has gift of writing. He has gift of notepad. He has whatsoever gift. But who gave them the gift? The Holy Spirit. That's how they think. No, what happened in the Corinthian church is that they were just in the church blessing the name of the Lord, and boom, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, this one said, rah, 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 rah. This one said, I see. The other one now laid hands on the sick and they were healed. So they were wondering, they had to write to Paul, there is catastrophe in our church. Things are just happening. Paul said, what is it? And some people are saying, bah, 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 bah. Some people are laying hands on the sick, they are getting, some people are doing this. Paul now said, okay, calm down. These things are a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, or these are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And like I said, not gifts the way you see it in your heart. You know why? The Bible said in Ephesians 2 and 4. Let's go there very fast. Ephesians 2 and 4. It said, but God who is rich in mercy because of his... Okay, give me verse 8. Alright, let's read together everyone. For by grace you have been what? True what? And that not of yourselves, it is what? Now look at what the Bible calls faith here. It calls faith gifts of God. Are you all listening? Please listen carefully and catch this. It calls faith what? Gift of God. Because a lot of people have this problem with tongues. They think tongues should be for some people. Are you listening to me? But see what the Bible calls faith here. It calls it what? Gift. And I told the preacher, I said, if God calls faith gift here, and if you read 1 Corinthians 12, you see where the Bible says there's such a thing as the gift of faith. How many of you saw it there? Now, if you see the gifts the way you used to see gifts, that simply means this man has gift of faith. This one has gift of tongues. This one has gift of healing. That one has another gift. Is God trying to say that this one, there's a special gift of faith, and this one has a special gift? Why would God not say all of us should heal the sick if there's a specific person that should heal the sick? Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Why would God say everybody should live by faith? He said the righteous shall live by what? Faith. If there are some people that are supposed to walk in the gift of faith, why would God say you shall speak with new tongues if you believe in my name, if there are specific people that should be able to pray in tongues? Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Now, doesn't this sound confusing? To show you that the ideology we have about the idea of gift is wrong, see what Paul wrote at verse 32 of 1 Corinthians 12. I think the last verse. Is it verse 32? Bring it up and everybody should read. I want you to see the fact that he called faith gifts. Alright? He said, but earnestly what? Desire the best gift. Earnestly what? Desire. Now, if these things are supposed to be for this man, this one is supposed to be for him alone, this one for him alone, why should I desire what this person have? Let me have it in the old KJV so that you see the way it said something about in the Ten Commandments. It said, but covet what? Remember the Bible said, thou shalt not covet. But he said, covet. Many pastors can look at his own gift and say, I like it. Then Paul said, you can covet it. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? If they are supposed to be for individuals, why is Paul saying we should covet it? When Paul was writing, he didn't mean gift for the way we see gifts. He meant gift for the way gift was written in Ephesians 2 and 8. When we say gift, we are saying an ability that comes from God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Healing is a God-given ability, is a gift to us. To walk in faith is a gift to us. To speak with new tongues is a gift to us. It's not of our own accord. We can't do it by ourselves. It was specially given to us divinely by who? God. That's how you should see the gifts there. Not a partitioning of possibilities, of the expression of possibilities per individual. No. Are you listening to me? But it is even rightly interpreted from the original as manifestation. Instead of gift of the Spirit, it's called the manifestations of the Spirit. That's the right Greek word there. If you check in the Greek, the word gift there meant manifestations. So the Holy Ghost comes on our inside now. Five of these people now, four of these people, if they are filled with the Holy Ghost, the expression of the power of the Holy Ghost will be different. It doesn't mean that what is in this person is not in that person. If it's not in that person, Paul will not say convert it. This guy is speaking in new tongues. That guy is laying hands on the sick and they are getting it. Paul is saying that, look at him, if you like it, get it. Because the Holy Spirit in him is the same Holy Spirit in you, but different expression per time yet. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? It's very important. That solves that problem of gift. That is why some people are joking with. See, you can't be a New Testament believer and don't pray in the Spirit. It's totally wrong. You are missing out a lot. In fact, before we even continue, see what the Bible says in in Romans 8, around 26. Let's read together, everybody. Give me the TPT rendition. I want everybody to read before we try to close. The TPT rendition. One to go. In a similar way, the Holy Spirit. For example, all know the best things to ask for, but the Holy Spirit, pleading to God, too deep for words. We don't know what to pray, what to even ask. Give me this in the NKJV. See how he puts it. Want to go? Likewise. But the Spirit himself with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's other tongues. Libra hamba shakapa. There are deep groanings that can be uttered. Then verse 27. Let's read together. 27. It then says, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see that? He knows what the mind of the Spirit. Remember when we spoke about the mind of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. Who knows the heart of a man but the spirit of that man? Remember from verse 9, he said the Spirit, how did he say from verse 9? He said the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Then he said, who knows the heart of a man but the Spirit of that man? Who knows the heart of God but the Spirit of God? Then in verse 12, he said, you have received the Holy Spirit who is from God, that you may know the things that God has freely given unto you. Then in verse 16, he said, who knows the heart of the Lord that he may instruct him? He said, we that have the Holy Spirit know the mind of Christ. He said, we have it. So when you have the Holy Spirit, he knows the mind of God. He begins to pray for you according to God's will for your life. You don't know where God wants you to be until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Life is so ambiguous. Where are you going to? You can't tell where you are going to. That's why you are going anywhere. But when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you begin to know directions. You begin to know where you are going to. Are you listening to me? And look at verse 28 of St. Paul's scripture in Romans. He said, he who knows, verse 27, he who knows the heart of the Spirit, pray for us according to the will of the Father. Then verse 28 of Romans 8, it then says, we know that all things work together. When he prays for us, what happens? All things work together. Bad things don't happen to you anymore. So I wake up, I just lost my brother. No! You don't know what to pray. What if tomorrow your brother was supposed to die? You know what the Bible says? God forbid you. The Bible says, we have received what we call the fervent of the Spirit. In other words, how many of you have been woken by the Holy Ghost to pray before? You are just sleeping. You just feel like somebody woke you up. And you feel like praying into the next morning, you see something that would have happened so bad and made everybody cry. But suddenly, I was sleeping one night. The Holy Ghost woke me up to pray. I didn't know my dad went somewhere with his friends, took alcohol. And for some reason, he felt like not drinking. Put it in a nylon, brought it home. When they burst, When he put it in the cup, they saw something getting swollen little by little. And when they took it outside, they tried to burst it. Guess what came out from it? A lot of blood. The thing was just rising, rising, and they pressed it. When it busted, blood came out from the thing. In other words, he would have taken that thing and it would be getting swollen in his stomach, till he will die. But I remember a night before that, when they were telling me the testimony, I remember I received the fervent of the Spirit. I just felt like praying in tongues. You see, you will not understand these things. The wisest people sitting here, not because they are wisest, but because they have no understanding. The wisest people sitting here tonight may think what we are saying is foolishness. I used to be like that. If you remove pastorship, I think if you are not more intelligent than I am. I can beat you in any course you are doing by God's special grace. But why was me with this wisdom I have choose to believe these things I'm believing? The Bible says God chooses to use the foolish things of the world to confirm the wise. You see these tongues? I mock tongues. I'm one person that mock tongues. Oh, I mock tongues so much. But I'm praying in tongues now and I love tongues. In fact, some of the greatest insult I've received in my life is because I spoke for tongues. There's a video online about me. You will see a lot of insult in the comment section. Because I said that in the New Testament, I said, do not marry a man who is not filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the evidence is that you pray in other tongues. So I was direct. I said, don't marry a man who doesn't pray in the Spirit. And some people came for me. Oh my God. I found just few people that understood what I was saying in the comment section. Over 300 and something K likes and comments. Is it views? I've been like, I don't even know. 100,000 plus comments. And I said something at the middle of it. I said, not everybody that pray in tongues. Not everybody that pray in tongues knows Jesus. But everybody that knows Jesus would pray in tongues. Then some people say, which kind of smumu thing is that? What did he even say? Does it make sense? Some people that understood will come to you and say, that's not what he said. Listen to him again. Not everybody that prays in tongues knows Jesus. But everybody that knows Jesus, he prays in tongues. What I'm trying to say is that when you see somebody just saying, it is not an affirmation that they know Jesus. But if you truly know Jesus, one of the evidence is that you pray in the Holy Spirit. Stop trying to compare with anybody. The Bible told us that if we believe in his name, we will speak with what? New tongues. In the New Testament, the believers, the worshippers of God pray in the Spirit. Stop comparing us with Elijah. They are in the Old Testament. New Testament believers pray in the Holy Ghost. Stop comparing with your father or mother. Okay, all the things your father and mother did not get, don't get it too. Because they are still happy people. Why not stay at the level of their success? If that is the supposed level of success, why are you trying to press further? Are you listening to me? Understanding now is better. There's understanding. When you don't pray in the Holy Ghost, you are joking. You are joking with your life. You can't touch the things of God. Get seated, guys. You can't touch the things of God. Are you listening to me? I'm advising you. Turn to your neighbor. Say, I advise you. Pray in tongues, oh. Should I told you people a story of somebody that insulted me for praying in tongues? On campus. Many years ago in BSU. She will knock at her door and say, bastard, idiot, not allowing people sleep. And I had this young man I was raising those days who had a thunderous voice. When we begin to pray, he will be booting. He will just be doing when he boots and he stands up like a lion, the whole compound will wake up. So when we are praying, I used to pray for him not to pray. Thunderous voice. Anytime he just rises up, the lady will come and it's a wooden door. Bobo, idiot, stop it. God will punish all of you. Hypocrite. I will break this door one day. Then he will not say, pastor, allow me to deal with this girl. I said, no. See how you prayed in tongues. You want to go and deal with somebody. Say, she can't be talking to you like this. Why here? Just allow me to step outside. I will raise her up, sir. He didn't just have a big voice. He had a muzzled body to support his big voice. One day, I came back in the afternoon. Libra Handa! I thought nobody was in the compound. I was shouting. Because if I knew, I would have not shouted. I used to fear her too. Oh, money coming to me now in the name of Jesus. I was calling for the money. I had finished my money to ministry work on campus. And while I was praying and calling, she heard me calling for the money. This was the testimony she was saying. Say, who calls for the money? Is that how people get money? It's like this one is mad. Oh. Then she said something told her that, okay, if this guy is a man of God, this money is calling for. But let it come to me, what I need to pay for my whatever, 5-5. Let me get it, God, before tomorrow evening. Guess when she got the alert? She got even more that same evening. I came out after praying to rest, you know, that time. Heat. I don't know whether heat. We're heating this time. I just was resting. And somebody came out. When I saw my spirit skipped, I said, hey, God, she was in the house. Pastor, can I talk to you? I said, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were in the house. I would have not raised my voice like that. And you know, she caught only me. So I was like, only me is in the house now. My people that used to threaten her are not around. Before she will finish me. And she said, no, sir, it's different. I said, what was it? She said, can I sit down? I said, sit down where? Yeah, on the bench. I said, you can sit down. So when she said that, I stood up. She started smiling. So I know you are wondering if I want to shout. I don't want to shout. Then little tears started dropping from her eyes. She said, this evening while you were praying, this afternoon while you were praying, I told myself, if you are really a man of God and you know what you are doing, the money I'm expecting, I should get it tomorrow evening. I got it this evening, sir. And she removed envelope. She says, sir, this is my tithe. I asked a friend, they say I should give tithe to church. And I told her, we are not a church, we're a fellowship. So I led her to go and give it somewhere else. And she asked me, how can I pray in tongues? That was the next question. You see, this thing about praying in tongues, it's not about argument. It's one situation that will hit you. It's not argument, I bet you. It's a situation. There was one guy who will be coming to church. He'll be smiling when I'm preaching. He'll be saying, oh, Pastor Troy, he's dope, man. I was wondering that whether that's what he was saying. He'll just be doing his hand like this. When I'm preaching, he'll be like. So anytime I'm preaching, he'll be doing like. Sometimes I'm offended. I'm like, what did this guy mean? And one day he came to my office. He wanted to see me. He told Pastor Ed. So I said, what is it? He said, sir, every November, we have noticed somebody used to die in our house. I said, okay. He said, sir, guess what? This is the first week of November. I said, okay. He said, sir, my body, I don't understand my body. I started feeling some kind of weakness. And I went to the doctor. They said they can't find anything, sir. I think I'm dying. I said, you are dying? You won't die in Jesus' name. He said, sir, amen. What will I do not to die? I said, just believe in God. He said, sir, this thing you are saying about tongues one day in service, that if somebody pray in tongues. I said, you want to pray in tongues? He said, yes, sir. I said, okay, on Tuesday service, somebody will lay hands on you. He said, sir, can I pray in tongues today? Because I don't know. The way this thing is happening in my heart. He is feeling like when he leaves me that day, the people will be watching him. They will now kill him. He received Jesus. I thought he was born again. He said, no, he wants to start when you're receiving Jesus. Receive Jesus in my office. I said, okay, lift your hands, tongues will come. No pastor, nobody. I was the only usher and the man of God. I said, lift your hands now. Let me lay hands. You will feel like saying some things. When they come, say it. As he lifted his hand, I said, now, before I said take, he was under the power. I was holding and laying hands. Guess what I said? Poco, poco, poco. Tongues in capital letter. He doesn't want to die. You know, some of you have not seen death like this, Koro. As death look at you like this and say, you think you have mind? You've not seen death. Ask people that have seen death like this. Some will pee on their body, it's not even enough. Don't you know that some Muslims in the plane, when plane is about to crash, they shout Jesus too? They are not wondering about believing. And Muhammad is the best. Mm-mm, you say that whatever is the best, let it work now. Jesus! Jesus! We may be arguing, but it will work now. Let it work, oh! And maybe the Christians that are not even bold enough, they may think Muhammad is the one that... They may say, Jesus, Muhammad, fire, Holy Ghost, Jesus. The one that will work should work. You know, when you see Christians without knowledge, they just call anything because there is uncertainty. They don't know which one works. Oh, yes! Blood on! Die, die, die! You don't know who you are. Have you ever seen from Jesus in scripture that he wanted to pray? He said, Peter, gather up. Now, Father, Jesus, God. Did Jesus ever pray like that? Did he ever do that? Religion is so terrible. See, run away from religion. That's when you begin to enjoy your life. Aren't you amazed, some of you, that you have been in a church for years, yet you are still a drunkard? You have been there for years. Now, do you realize you are going to hell? It doesn't mean leave our church. You will go to hell with your church. There is something called hellfire. I don't believe all those things. You better believe it too. Say, I don't believe in hell. Hell believes in you. They know your name. Don't joke. Tell somebody, don't joke. You only live once. Let's make with flesh. So you die. You flesh, you die, you go hellfire. You continue flexing there. Are you listening to me? When you are experiencing religion, you'll be eyeing club. You know, there are some Christians in church eyeing club. How do we know? They'll collect microphone to lead praise. Praise God, we're going to praise God. You are seeing them on social media, right? I get God. I get Holy Ghost. I can't submit dance. I'm a God material. You know, they are in church. They are now admiring club. Because they are playing religion. What we're saying... Asian ones are like, which kind of boring song with this? Because they don't understand the word of God. When you have a revelation, when we sing those songs, you see people crying. Have you not seen those old fathers of faith? Some of you, they are saying, Asian one, don't need that. Asian one, what did daddy they cry for this song? What did he hear? What did they talk? That's why now, our gospel artists have understood this generation, Gen Z. You hear gospel song, you'll be wondering, now David, don't sing this one, future... That song dope. That gospel song. Now my kind of gospel song. Like I said, now I go start hear gospel song. You are not born again. You just want us to put Davido in church so that you become a Christian. It's not possible. Are you listening to me? And some of you delving. There are some people now that have started those kind of things as a profession. Even in Makodi, I saw a billboard for God. They say Afro gospel, whatever. If you see how those boys dress, we chain like this. That's a gospel artist, so it's like this. Afro for Jesus. Performing artists will come out. Praise Jah, man. Gospel artists. You know, one time I almost tried to, because I felt like I was condemning. So I told their pastor, Emma, I want to buy into this Afro gospel. Let me go to YouTube and watch. So one day I opened, I said, God, please, if I was condemning, forgive me. Let me, if this sin is real, let me experience it. So I on my data, enter YouTube. I wanted to hear one song. As I played the song, they started showing the guy's shoe. I used to remember Lil Wayne, those days we used to hear him. I got blood in my eye. His shoe and chain they used to show first. I started seeing the guy's shoe. The shoe was coming up to his chain, to his chest. He did not even button. The button, they left the chest open like this for God to see. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? For God to see the chest. Then they now showed his lips first before they show his face. Pink lips. Jireh, you have a best. In me, immediately I say Allah Natuba, I just ran away from that place. Before I start singing those songs, before I will come to this church now. So what's up, guys? You know, yesterday as I was, do you feel my blings blings? Imagine pastor with pickup like this, with earring. Then I dye the side of my hair. Sup guys? So Jesus don't care about this fucking religion, man. We are the new generation, man. Find us, we love Jesus, man. Choir, give me that, hit it, give it up for me. We are the new generation. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, they are feeling me. That means I would have been good in that realm. I used to think I was going to be a good rapper, actually. You will see church, we scatter. Hey, we love, and they feed this pastor. That's my pastor. Well, you missed it. It's not this church. It will never, if you like, insult us that we are old generation, no problem. I don't believe, see, listen, it's so simple. Even logical people in the normal realm, they'll judge you for the way you dress. Talk less of kingdom. I was driving with somebody to Abuja. They stopped us 4 times because he did dread. His hair, not dread, that is more than dread. The dada was like this. 4 times. Check his phone. When he now says, my pastor, they'll say, okay, go. When they see me the way I'm looking, they'll say, you can go. 4 times. And I started praying, God, talk to him to barb his hair. I didn't want to come there. I said, God, please speak to him. So one day while I was praying, my heart said, tell him to cut his hair. So I called him that I want to see you. I said, after service. We now came to church. I was looking for him. I did not see him. When I raised my head, he was holding the camera. Guess what? He has cut his hair. And I asked him, I said, what made you to cut your hair? He said, when I was praying in the afternoon, the Holy Spirit told me to cut my hair. We were still traveling. Nobody stopped him. Now he's fine boy. Fine boy. Well done. Pass. There are some battles you will not fight when you just dress well. Say, we must dress. Wait till you gain dressing like that. You even bring problem to yourself as a pastor. Problem. Like lately I saw a video. Somebody said Jesus is the only stripper that I follow. You can imagine. Oh, you didn't see it? Oh, you've not seen. We're trying to bring the Gen Z movement into the church. Jesus is the only stripper that I follow, man. He's the only stripper. He even called the butt of Jesus. That showed it butt without it turning me on. Something like that. Stupid. Because on the cross, he stripped naked for me. You see? Now you get the connection of what he wants to say. On the cross, he stripped naked. Because they say they buried, they crucified Jesus naked. So he now said Jesus stripped for him. And he felt he was happy seeing the birth of Jesus, because you can imagine. You are seeing that the thing does not make sense. You see, they say all fathers don't respect our generation. All these fathers of faith, they know they respect us. May they respect dying of brown hair and earring for water. Even gospel artists now, there's no stringo. Somebody is singing, he loves me, you know, he cares, whatever. Oh, mama. You see, Christians just say, I like this song. It's not I like this song. Where did it flow from? If Davido release a gospel song, it will shock all of you. It will be number one on Spotify. It's just to arrange the beat. When somebody put nose ring and is singing gospel, I will not buy it. My baby is growing now. One day she now hears the song, he know he loves, and say, oh, I love that song. Let me watch the video. Daddy always sings it. When she watched, the person has nose ring. He knows, Daddy, you love this song. Why? He said, because it's beautiful. He said, but the guy puts, say, Daddy, I know what to do. Shekinah now comes there with nose rings. I know he loves me. What? Off that mic, off the camera, come yes. Knelt down on the ground. Pah! But I cursed it. Did I not? Let songs not sweet you that you forget to look at consecration. Let not sweet you too much. See, some of our gospel artists, some of you, your heart is telling you, you know. Every trend. This one that has come out now, this one, they will dance. They will not do like this. They will not do like this. They will not do like this. Almost all the gospel artists now have done their own. They've done it. Every trend, any trend, Gen Z will carry to the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's praise, oh. That's church. There is no trend, and it always is so annoying that it will finish after 2 weeks, and they'll be waiting for the next trend. But God is bringing order back to the church. There is no pain if you don't wear that thing. If you don't wear, you know there is no pain. Let it go. Tell somebody, let it go. Do your hair moderately. Wear the things as a man. What are you putting bangles for? Remove it. Focus. If you don't put it, you will not die. If you feel like dying, not putting it, you are worshiping the devil then. That thing has become what? An idol for you. I spoke about leg chains yet. One brother even met me after church. Say, sir, yeah, me, I can marry girls with leg chain. I said, brother, you will not marry. Say, sir, no, me, I know what I'm saying. I said, me too, I know what I'm saying. Let's bet. You think you're in a relationship with one now, you are okay. See, a time will come, you will break up. It's not hard now. You will break up. You now, all of you seated here, if your son brings a girl, because all of you will become mother and father soon. If your son brings a girl, you now see leg chain. She now enter and she changed. She go. Afternoon, ma. Afternoon, daddy. Afternoon, mommy. What will you people do? Say the truth. Say, no, it doesn't matter. We don't judge a book by the cover. No. My daughter come inside the house. But you now, you are defending yourself. There are some battles you save yourself from. What are you wearing leg chain for? What do you gain? My sister Snomi, she is one of them. This small thing here is one of the last born. Second to the last born. They know me. Ask her how many times I beat her in Lagos before she became born again like this. I used to beat her up very well. I'll go to the house, she'll just be vibing to Davido. She did, hey, this one, Bonner Boy and Davido. Oh my God. I'll just enter, I say, I'm doing like this, doing like this. I say, come here. Fuck! I went one time, she was watching Big Brother Niger. I woke up by 2 a.m. I saw Flora doing like this. What are you watching, Big Brother Niger? We had to scramble the channel for her sake. If not now, she would have gone to apply for Big Brother Niger. We forced her, spare the rod and what? See her now, she loved Jesus very well. So I love her, I will not flog her. You know, Mama T, our baby always sucks hand. And she started getting a little bit slim. So Mama T complained about it. And she now said, but she has to be sucking her because she removed it, she cries too much. And I told her, she's there. I said, which cry do you prefer? The cry now or the cry later? So I removed it, she put it again, I held it, she was looking to my eye. I cried with her. We were crying. Say, she got tired from my cry and stopped. And I'm sure she started consoling me now. Daddy, don't cry. I will always do that to her. And I said, they should be putting, see her hand now, you will see a hand glove. Immediately we do that. After 2 days, her body came back to normal. Because she will be soaking her hand and imagine it for breasts. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Bow your heads and pray. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient world impart. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace, my life has changed. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace, my life has changed. I will never be the same. I've known your word, my life has changed. I will never be the same. I know your word, my life has changed. I will never be the same. I know your word, my life has changed. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace, my life has changed. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace, my life has changed. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace, has changed. Oh, my life has changed. Oh, God. I've touched your grace, my life has changed. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace, my life has changed. Oh Lord, we give a praise. We thank you for the entrance of your word that bringeth light and understanding to the simple. We know, Lord, the things we couldn't do before we'll begin to do. Go ahead and prophesy in 1 minute and say, Lord, everything I couldn't do before, by the reason of the entrance of your word, I can now do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Go ahead, everyone. I can hear you. Go ahead and pray. Whatever I couldn't do before, I can now do it.
When you hold my hand, everything becomes possible. When you hold my hand, everything becomes possible. I believe, Lord, I believe. Everything is now possible. I believe, yes, I believe. Everything, let's sing together. Everyone sing. When you hold everything, everything becomes possible. When you hold everything and everything. Oh, I believe, I believe, yes, I believe everything. I believe, yes, I believe, oh.
And Lord, I declare over all your children here, anyone seated here, under the sound of my voice, suffering from any form of sickness, I declare right now, total healing, in the name of Jesus, total restoration. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.